Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
So it's Thursday, and we've got the Lunchtime Social Debate. We've got Jake
Hello.
In, and we've also got James.
Hello.
And we've also got Nicola as well.
Hello.
And we have two topics that we're going to be chatting about, and I'm just going to chuck it out there first of all. We were just chatting about pedestrianisation, and this was your idea, Nicola.
Yeah.
And you're not really for it.
Not really, no. I just think it's going to cause a whole load of chaos on the roads, trying to, you know, reroute everything and send people round the outside of it. And I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's busy enough, to be honest.
See, I'm kind of with you. And I'm just looking at... I've just put in pedestrianisation in Newport, Isle of Wight. And I can find stuff as far back as 2010.
Yeah.
The then Lib Dem Independent Isle of Wight Council decided pedestrianisation was a good idea without really doing their homework, is the headline here. And I would imagine that because that was 8 years ago, they've probably done their homework since and thought, you know what, it's not quite such a good idea after all. I think there is one area where I think pedestrianisation might work, but I don't think it would be good for the buses. I'm just thinking, you know where the arches are? When you go into town, there's the, what do they call it? Is it St. James's Square?
St. James's Square?
St. James. There's a little bit of an area there where people do stretch out across the way a bit. And there's a cafe there. I think Costa Coffee is there.
Oh, of course,
well.
I know. Yeah, by the monument. Yeah.
Just that bit there. If they were to do that, not quite sure whether that would be good enough or not. But that's the only area that I look at and I think, well, that might not have too much of a knock-on effect on the traffic. Mm. It would on the buses.
It would on the buses because they can go both ways, can't they, along there?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, remembering back. I mean, I'm really, really old. And you probably, because you're an islander, you probably have seen pictures or you may remember. Well, not so much the old market, is where that area where I'm talking about, where it is pedestrianised now, that used to be a road there.
Yes.
Then it used to be traffic lights there.
Seen pictures.
So they have done, you know, they have done it in stages, albeit it must have been back in the 70s, maybe the 80s that they changed that. But I don't see it ever happening because of the issues, the large amounts of traffic on the roads. Where are you going to go?
Exactly.
Where are these cars going to go?
Exactly. I just don't think it's going to create more chaos than it is now.
But how do they cope elsewhere? You know, so for instance, they close off roads in Southampton, Portsmouth. Are they pedestrianising something in Ventnor as well? I think they're going to do something in Ventnor too.
Oh.
But then...
Yeah, but don't they have much in the mainland? Don't they have like four lines of traffic, like going one way, four lines of traffic the other way? They've got bigger, wider roads. They can get out and about. Our roads are much smaller on the island. You know?
All right, well, let's put it to the test. Mm. I know you don't drive, Jake, but I'm going to put you under pressure now.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So apologies for that. If you're coming from freshwater and you want to get to Ryde, which is the best way?
Freshwater to Ryde?
Yeah.
Well, you'd go the middle road, weren't you? Then you'd come into Carisbrook.
Yeah.
Then you'd go down the Mail into... Pyle Street, is it Pyle Street?
Yeah.
And then you'd go through the town centre. That's the way I'm thinking I would go.
Okay.
If I was going, for the middle road.
If you went the middle
down
road.
Down through Carisbrook, past the Waverley Pub, all the way down that hill, past the Mail, then you'd come into the sort of central town. Then you'd come down past the council, wouldn't you? And then you'd get to...
Okay. So the route you're going to go is a route that
a
I...
A very
would...
central route, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's a
the
route.
The easiest route, isn't it, really? I mean, one of the main routes, one of the...
You could come, so you end up coming along Forest Road. Come down that way, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You come that way, and then you can bypass the town.
And down.
But here we go. We have to point out, you're an islander.
Yeah.
That's automatically, you've gone there in your brain. So have I. Because I didn't think of the other one until you started talking about that one.
Right.
So the issue is, straight away, that how do we educate people not to go down the town? Because they've got to bypass it, which might... take extra time for your journey, or you might clog up the other roads even more than they are already.
Yeah.
But then I said that, you go through the town some days, they're busy, aren't they?
What, the...
Go down through the town centre.
Well, it depends. Depends when you're going down there, I suppose.
Afternoon.
Rush hour.
Yes.
Rush hour's not good.
I just don't think we need it, to be fair. I agree with Nicola. I really think we're big enough for it. I don't think we've got enough sort of shops for that sort of demand for it. We just don't need it. It's not like Southampton when you go, you know, you've got the big shopping centres, you've got the Westquay, the big shops. We just don't need it. I mean, you know, we have, charity shops and Poundlands and things like that. It's nothing, you know, no big shopping centres, have we, or anything like that. So I think it will cause more bad than good.
Okay, I kind of get that, kind of understand it. They've obviously in the past, now thinking about it, they outside of St Thomas's Church, they pedestrianised that area there as well, because that used to be a road as well, didn't it?
Yeah, I've seen old photographs looking down on St Thomas's Square where there's all the buses were parked and things like that.
Okay, well...
don't know what time...
Well, here's a point then. When you walk in that pedestrianised area there, all the shops and pubs seem to be flourishing, don't they? They're none of them are closed.
St Thomas's Square?
They're not closed.
I wouldn't say it's packed out. I mean, it's not really... I mean, you've got a few locals at the Wheatsheaf pub, but it's not like... I don't know.
It's never packed. You're never bumping into anybody, are you?
No,
you've always got a lot of room around you.
But all the shops are doing all right, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what shops have you really got there? I mean, you've got Skin Trade, haven't you, near about? You've not got any...
Well, they're more sort of little independent sort of shops and things, aren't they?
Oh, in the back as well.
Yeah,
there's a leather shop, haven't you?
There's some quirky little places around the side, so...
I think,
if I was official spokesman, I'd be saying that. We've already got bits of Newport pedestrianised. Leave us alone.
Yes. It's fine. Yes.
But, having said that, it is pedestrianised, and it kind of works... I like the area. That area is a nice area. I walked through there last night, and there were a few people outside of Olivio's having a drink and something to eat. It was a lovely atmosphere. There was a few people outside of the pub as well.
But Ian, that's summertime. You know, in the summer, things are very different to the winter.
Definitely.
We've got to make the most of it, though, haven't we? Summer.
Well, of course we do.
We can't just put things in the way, but at the same time, I totally agree with what... Let's fix the high street before we pedestrianise it.
But then there's another angle. There's the tourism angle. I mean, we're an island that relies on tourism, and if we're sending people away from our high street... You know, mainlanders that are driving through the high street and looking around, if they miss that, they're not going to be coming into our town to spend their money.
Okay.
So there's also that angle as well, which I suppose you do have to consider. But I
wonder where they're going to park then. Because obviously there's quite a few parking spaces down the high street.
Yes.
And about if you're going to put them off, then, where do they then go? Do they then go into the back streets, which are pretty much full up anyway? Do they go into the supermarkets, which are going to...
You've got a time limit on those as well.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
One and a half hours, 2 hours.
Yeah, so they're going to be cramming up the supermarket car parks as well.
Car park prices shooting up.
They will go up.
It's just a knock-on effect, really.
Yeah.
So I suppose there's two things to look at here, then. There's a safety element. There's also the traffic element. And also... will it have a damaging or a positive effect on our high street? There's three things. Mm. And I don't think anything else is worth thinking about, is it, really?
No.
Those are the three things you take. Okay, safety aspect. Yes, it will be safer for people to go shopping.
Mm.
Where will the traffic go? Where will the traffic park?
Yes.
And what effect will it have on the high street? Mm. Do you think, I mean, in all honesty, James, do you think it'll have a positive effect on the high street by pedestrianising it, or would it not?
I reckon it would have a negative effect because, like you say, if you're taking all of it out, then where is everyone else going to go?
Well, where are they going to park?
Exactly.
Is that what you mean? Where are they going to park? I guess they could park in, you know, supermarkets, but then kind of defeats the object a little bit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last time you went down the high street in a car and parked and thought, well, I'm going to go get something quickly, though?
Never. I've never parked in the high street.
There you go.
Ever.
So there's the other thing. There are people that are going to go, well, I don't think you should do that, but I don't use it. I don't park in it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to affect you, is it?
Yeah.
And it wouldn't affect me either.
Nope.
So, you know, I look at it and I think it doesn't bother me one way or the other when it comes down. The safety does.
Mm.
It doesn't bother me whether I can park in it or not. That's not an issue. It is an issue that is it going to make our high street work? And I guess it becomes an issue if you can't get out of your house because of, or it's always going to be massively busy because of the traffic.
Mm.
It is. Would it alleviate that? Our house is quite close to the town, and if they said, right, okay, we're going to pedestrianise this area here from now on, well, that means that the surrounding areas, the roads that we live in, are then going to be clogged up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
That's what I worry about as well.
Yeah.
They must have come across this, because I think the idea was, now picture in your mind, you come down the high street and... you can get as far as... what's that place? There's a place at the top of town where they've always got a sale on, like they're going to close down. And it's opposite. It's across the road from the Castle Pub. So you turn in down that road there. So originally the plans
the furniture shop
with the furniture place at the very top.
Yeah. It used to be BY. Do you remember that? BY's. It used to be that.
Yeah.
It was. This is what the plan I saw is you can come all the way into town, mm-hmm. but then you'll have to turn left in between that furniture place,
get to the Travelodge
and
on the corner,
and you keep going.
Yes,
and there's some whole narrow little streets around there.
Yes,
imagine a bus trying to get down there.
Well, exactly, it wouldn't. I mean, it's just completely pointless, pathetic idea, really. I mean, it's just not needed. You know, we're a small town. We're not a big open town, are we? We're like a big city. Right. You know, we're a small, cramped little town. I mean, it's just...
This idea that I've seen was from 2010, and I would imagine the ideas was before then as well.
Yeah.
Now, they probably come to the same conclusion. So why go over this? You've either got to knock down part of that so that buses could get round, or you've got to rethink it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I don't know what you think. Do you live in Newport?
Yes.
You live in it? Yeah. Do you live in Newport?
Yeah, Newport.
Yeah.
Now, I live in Newport, just outside of town, and you know, if I walk, the closest supermarket to me is Sainsbury's, and when you walk to Sainsbury's from my house, they've got that new bit of road that they've opened up in the last little while. That is just an accident waiting to happen there. I'm surprised that nobody's been knocked down already, because people zoom here, they zoom, and it's like it's not clear when you come down from the town end. You can go straight on, and if you're coming the other way, it's not wide enough for two cars.
That's the problem. That's the problem. These drivers that are going at ridiculous speeds, perhaps down the high street, you know, don't need a pedestrianisation. Put a couple of ramps in. Put something there.
That's
true.
That
to slow
good,
that
yes.
down. Then that solves that problem of keeping it safer for people. If people just slow right down. I mean, I see some people cruising down that high street all the way down to Coppins Bridge. You know, at ridiculous speeds. So kids trying to cross, old people trying to cross. You know, put a couple of ramps in. That's all they need.
I think that's See, I like the idea of ramps. And that stretch of road that we're talking about is a real nightmare because people do zoom up and down there. And I'm pretty sure the local council has been trying to get some kind of crossing in there, or 20 is plenty. Well, which I think, okay, I don't agree with 20 is plenty. Either just put a sign in there saying 20 mile an hour and a camera up. That will do. That will suffice. Because I'm pretty surprised. Well, you've got an old people's home there as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm pretty surprised they haven't had any issues there so far. I think they've been incredibly lucky. It's only been open about a year or so, 2 years maybe. But I think they should seriously think about that. And the other, if you go just around the corner, I know we're coming out and it's slightly different, but outside of Sainsbury's, how many times do you see vans parked where you can walk in, but you can drive in, and they park like 30 yards away from the crossing? So it obscures everybody's vision.
Yes.
I think stick someone up there, you get loads of tickets.
Yeah.
Make loads of money. That's so irritating, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't park up there, do you?
I don't. No.
It's always businesses in vans.
Yeah, I know.
And you think you're just going to nip in. What's the difference? Just park your blooming van in the car park. It's free. Mm. Nip in and get what you want and get out.
Yeah.
And no one gets injured.
Because it's a busy old area around there.
It is.
Really is busy.
It is. And while we're on the subject, when you cross on a zebra crossing now, I always believe that if you put your foot on that zebra crossing, anybody going, they have to stop. They stop
They're
for you.
To.
But even if you're standing there waiting to cross, you have to stop.
And they have to wait until your foot is off that, the other
exactly,
side as well.
Yes.
A lot of them don't even wait for that.
So would it be an idea to pedestrianise to make it safer? Now, I'm still against it, but I'm just thinking we're highlighting all these issues that, you know, say from a safety aspect. Now go to ride in your mind, top half of the high street is kind of, you do get cars going up there whenever they feel like it, but on the whole, it is pedestrianised.
Yes.
So does that work?
It does, because obviously the main buses into Ryde, they go down West Street, don't they? And they go past the theatre and down Union Street.
Mm.
So they don't actually go up. They don't need to go up the top part of the high street. Whereas buses coming from Freshwater or Bryson or Shorewell, they have to use the main high street to get to the bus station. You see, so the top part of Ryde is not needed for buses because they go down West Street and they go down Union Street
and
to get to the bus station.
And the main shopping area is lower than that anyway, isn't it? Wouldn't you say Union Street was a lot busier than the top? Wouldn't you say?
I lived in Ryde, and I lived the back of it was Church Lane. It was the back of Yelps for about 10 years, and I mean that's going back 20 odd years. But I didn't really take that much notice. But I always thought that all the good stuff was at the top part of the, because you had curries and things like that, which would have appealed to me. And we went down to get some get my glasses done from Whiteside, which is in the middle. It's the cross street one.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you got half an hour, I'll come back and pick them up. And we went back half an hour, but we decided for once, because we always do that thing where we go, because we're up, we walk up. And we thought, oh, do you know what? We're going to walk down.
Yeah.
We walked down one side and walked, because I just wanted to see, because obviously I lived in the area, and I thought, how much of it's changed? And I must admit, I was quite impressed. I was really impressed. But you felt as though, okay, if you wanted to cross the road, yeah, okay, it's like just like crossing a busy road.
Mm.
But if you were up the top part, you could chill out and relax a little bit more. You wouldn't have to worry about the traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is an element of that. And it's a lot easier. Just say, for instance, if you've got a pushchair and you've got a couple of kids as well. I mean, I would imagine that plays a major part as well. But I think that there you have it. You have a high street that is pedestrianised, half of it, and half of it isn't. We don't know for sure, but what would be interesting to find out is which half is doing the best financially.
Well, I think that main stretch, you know, where the traffic lights are just outside Boots and Superdrug,
yes.
I'd say that stretch of that entire high street is probably the busiest, I think, but that bit in the middle. So the upper high street, not so much, but I think that sort of road where sort of Waterstones, Boots is,
yes,
that, I mean, section, that can be pretty hard to cross on a busy day.
Yes. I mean, obviously Boots is a real big sort of chain, isn't it? So, and that's, you know, obviously packed out every day. Whereas the top of the high street, we've got Poundland's very busy, but you've got quite a few, you know, sort of charity shops and sort of little places that aren't so busy. But yeah, I would definitely agree with the Superdrug and Boot, because it's a big, busy shop. So that, obviously, part of the street's going to be sort of more packed out,
and you've got traffic coming in from that, up from sort of past Hong Kong Express on that corner. You've got traffic that are waiting to come in from there, C Street as well.
Yeah.
So you've got these roads that there's cars sort of flowing into that line of traffic to go down Coblenz Bridge, whereas at the top you don't have anyone really coming apart from taxis that are allowed to go. Taxis and buses, from that.
Were you surprised? Because obviously you've lived there most of your life as well, but were you surprised when they did that thing that they... What do they call it? There was uproar, wasn't there? The red carpet. They called it the red carpet, where they reversed the road, but only buses could go that way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was uproar.
Yeah, there's uproar. Yeah, there was.
And people weren't happy. And I still, when I walk down, I always think, oh, I don't have to look left. But now, hang on a minute, no, you do.
You have to
look right, depending on which side of the road you are.
Yeah.
And it is a bit... And you do kind of think, well, that was done for the buses situation. But then you look at our roads and you think that our roads in and around the town are not fit for... They weren't built for buses.
No, they weren't, no.
Sadly, they weren't. And
they're just
not big enough. But when was the last time? I can't remember in my lifetime the last time we've actually had a proper new stretch of road. Now, I'm not talking about a stretch of road that goes through an estate that's just been built. Just a new stretch of road. Is there any opportunity for us to just say, for instance, if it was to say, right, okay, what's the issue here? The issue is coming down through the town and coming out the other side and going through the roundabout. Is there a way that we can access a road that or currently conjure up a road that takes us from that side to that side without going through the town? There isn't. And I don't think there's any chance of it.
I think it's Coppins Bridge they need to sort out. That's the one that's got the traffic
that's
problems.
A nightmare.
And yeah, build a road over the top of that. Spend the money on that. Make life easier.
It would. My memory serves me rightly. The bloke that designed that spent 2 years on the island, designed that, then got it built, and then cleared off to America. Thanks very much. Loads of money. Bye. And we've been left with it.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, rush hour traffic. Oh, in the mornings when you're stuck along there, it's a nightmare.
But what would you change about it, though? If you had the power to change it, improve it, what would you do?
Do you know what? I think... I'm now thinking... If you've got Coppins Bridge... You've got the dual carriageway. It's almost like, oh, we've got a dual carriageway and we built it for a quarter of a mile. That's enough.
Yeah.
No one anymore.
Yeah.
Well, if they would have continued that, maybe they should have a ring road that goes it goes around Newport. And by way, I say it goes up to the hospital, join that up, and you have another dual carriageway. Because Forest Road is a long, big road.
Yeah.
And you could have it going up there partly, and then maybe you've got to have it going through Gunville and then coming out and around. I don't know, but I think we've got to make it bigger, and maybe that's the only way that you can do that, is by having some kind of ring road that you can get through Newport without going through the town. And the only way to do that is the roads that you have got, because you're not going to be able to build, let's just conjure up some space here and have a road there for all those houses there. It ain't gonna happen. But if you've got something that's already in place, like, you know, the middle road, make it better. Maybe that middle road needs to come across and then come down at an angle and then go along Fairlie Road or Forest Road. So they go, you're coming this way towards the town, and then you take a detour through some fields up there, join that up with Forest Road, which meets up with the dual carriageway, and you kind of bypass the main part of town. Now, I don't know, that's going to cost a lot of money. Whether they've got the money or not to do that, I very much doubt it. But surely that would have been something that we should have looked at when we signed up this big major agreement with Island Roads. Mm. But having said that, not having a go at them, and I'm not having a go at the quality of the roads, the quality of the roads are getting better. Mm. But that's all it was. It was quality of the roads. You go on the mainland and they need to put something in place, they'll put a new road in.
Yeah.
They'll bash a few things down and they'll put a new road in. Or they'll cut a great big hole and a tunnel through a big hill.
Mm.
We don't do that on the island. We just make do with what we've got. And the unfortunate thing is, what we've got ain't fit for purpose.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. Mm. But there is a way around it, I'm sure, where you just make some adjustments on these roads, make them slightly bigger, adjust, you know, the angle a little bit. I mean, there's so many things that have changed in the last few years. I mean, that road where you come along Fairlie Road.
Yeah.
From the crematorium, they took that road out of action a little while ago, and they took the camber out, didn't they? If you remember, they adjusted that. They did that for a reason. They did that for safety reasons. Well, maybe if you really wanted safety and you really wanted pedestrianisation, it's going to come at a cost, and you've got to put that traffic somewhere else. Mm. It's not rocket science, is it? But you have got that major road,
and that stretch of road up there, that's past when you come down sort of Lushington Hill, towards that, and then you suddenly go from 40 and you can go straight into 50 on the race course, can't you?
Yes.
So that's, you know, people speeding going along there, and there's always someone waiting to cut down into that road, isn't there? You're always having to let people through.
I think they would have looked at this and thought, that's the only way we can do it, so we won't do it. And I don't know why we're even discussing it again. We've had this before. It's a bit like the fixed link thing. You know, do we want a fixed link? Not really. But would it help us? I think it would help some people, but it certainly wouldn't help our roads, because they won't come to an agreement.
Though, will they?
I don't think that'll ever happen. To be talks. Fair. Are you against it? Are you for it, or are you against it? The fixed link proposal.
I'm against.
You're against it, and you, Ian?
I'm saying let's have that feasibility study, and then we can be proved that basically it's a no go, and then we can stop talking about it and stop arguing about it, because I do think it's a no go, purely and simply because, yes, it would suit you getting off the mainland and so on and so forth, but if you've got an array of traffic coming across and more traffic on the island's roads, there's no proof of that. That's why we need to have some kind of assessment.
Yes.
Have that assessment. Yeah. I'm fairly comfortable with they'll have that assessment and then work out that it's not really for us. We need to put something else in place. Trains. We need to put trains and trams. If you had a train system, a tram system, would that be easier to, so we can alleviate, because we're talking about pedestrianisation here. Mm. We have to alleviate the pressure on the roads.
Yeah.
That's the only way around it, because if you shut that road, that means that the pressure is going to build up elsewhere, and you'd have chaos. You'd have total chaos. So I dare say that this will be looked at. Pedestrianisation plans to be shared despite objection by certain businesses island-wide. They're looking at this island-wide, not just in Newport. But when you look at Cowes is partly, mostly pedestrianised.
Yes, it is.
It's only that little bit where you can go into the red jet, isn't it?
Yes.
That you can sort of get to.
And that works quite nicely, to be fair.
It does. How they get these buses through, though, I don't know, but it's quite a work of art, I think.
Yes.
But just that little loop, that's all you've got, isn't it? Into the main high street area.
I think that just works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because they come down that hill, and then all they've got to do is just...
But all towns are geographically completely different, so you can't say what's right for one is right for the other. It's difficult.
But I think obviously with Newport, they have to get it, it's like the home, isn't it, of the bus station. Yeah. It's the home of the bus station. It's where most of the taxis are. It's where most of the routes are accessible, because it's obviously a central part of the island. Mm. I think that's why there's going to be a bit more of a problem.
Yeah.
Do you know, We went to Ipswich for a couple of, last couple of years. We've gone to Ipswich, gone and stayed in father-in-law's caravan, and we've gone into Ipswich. And you can, what you do is they do the park and ride thing, where you've got this great big parking area and a bus that runs every quarter of an hour. So your journey is probably the distance from Newport to Ryde. Mm. So you go and park your car, you get on a bus, you take that journey. It takes you about 20 minutes to get to Ipswich, and they drop you right in the town centre. Everything is pedestrianised. No one's rushing around trying to park, but they've taken that time and the trouble. And I think if you had that there and you made it really, really simple for people, they could have some kind of park and ride system. The other side, top of Carisbrook Way. As you come into the you come in on that middle road that we're talking about, if you had some kind of thing just before you get into the big steep hill, you had some field there, because there's lots of fields there, you put a great big bus system there where you have, you go and get a bus, you get a car park there, you get on a bus and that takes you straight into town. You ain't got to worry about parking. That would alleviate some issues. That would then they could drop you at the top of town, and you can then go and, you know, do what you want to do, get the bus, get back to your car. And equally, if you have the other one, the other side of town, like instead of maybe building new shops that they're going to build on St George's Way, you have another big one of these big bus areas, if you like, so you can drive there. You've got the supermarket there, you can just nip straight across there, or you've got to come out of town maybe further up to Blackwater, but an area where you've got a big area where you park your car and the bus will take you into town and bring you back, that will stop people coming into car-wise, wanting to go through town, but it will also bring people into the town centre, wouldn't it?
Because who's going to want to drive there? Then, obviously, to get a bus.
Who's going to want to pay that?
No one's going to want to. Well, I wouldn't say nobody, but you're not going to want to drive to stop, then get a bus, are you? Pay to get a bus. Surely, who's going to want to pay?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you've got to make it affordable, haven't you?
Exactly. Buses aren't, you know, they're expensive enough, isn't it? I mean, it's what, £3.50 to get a single journey to Cowes, £3.50, £7 their return. Are you going to want to drive all that way, then park up, then get a bus into the town for perhaps 20 minutes of shopping?
I live in Newport, so it makes a difference to me. But if I didn't and I had to do that, I would resent it. I'll be honest, I would not want to do that.
No.
I wouldn't want to pay any more.
Yeah. I mean, we're quite lucky walking distance, but.
Yeah.
I suppose unless you were going for a big day out, or if you're going for a meal,
if you're just nipping in to get something on the way to somewhere else, it's difficult. It's really hard.
But then you've got the argument, as in, would you sort of nip it if you would? You go all the way from Freshwater, into the shop. So
Okay. Well, look, we're going to have the final say now. Okay, so we're going to go Newport, pedestrianisation or not?
No, not for me.
Okay,
it would
James?
Work.
No, nope, not for me either.
Nicola.
And it's a no from me.
And it's a no from me, so it's four no's. So I'm afraid, pedestrianisation, you're not going through to the next round. You're not going through to boot school. You've got to go back to the drawing board, basically, because it's not going to happen. The roads aren't, they're not fit for that at all. There's no way that we can do it. Having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up with it. And there is a way we could do it. We could have a rope across at the end, so we don't have to, it doesn't cost anything. We just try it. But then you have the signs put in, so the buses go down that road, the road that is going to be congested. I mean, it is around the town. Those roads are awful. Was it the Trafalgar Road when they reversed that as well?
Still don't get that.
No,
I don't,
that's such
that
a
one.
That's an accident waiting to happen.
Oh, and another one as well. You know, outside McDonald's, you know, Scarrett's Lane, you know where you turn right and then turn left again. That's like zigzag. Bit there that gets me as well. Like, what, you go to cross and then you don't know what's around the corner, because, you know, you could probably hear like a car coming round.
I know what you mean. But Scarrettstown, again, that is pedestrianised. So there are areas that are already pedestrianised, and quite, you know, large chunks of that Scarrett's Lane around the St Thomas's Church. You know, so it's not as bad as what people think.
Yeah.
I just think that there are.
How wide Scarrett's Lane is, perhaps we could sort of turn that into a road, then pedestrianise the high street. So perhaps, but I don't think it's wide enough to be done. But if that became a main road and a route into town, because that would work, and then we could close off the main high street and pedestrianise the main high street,
yeah,
and leave Scouts Lane. But I don't know if it's sort of wide enough for double-decker buses to come down.
Probably.
Obviously, cars can get up there, but they're a bit of a squeeze when you see them coming up. But a double-decker bus...
Yeah, but then you see some of these double-deckers going around these old country lanes. And
very
they,
true.
They do
very
pretty
true.
Well, actually, yeah, considering.
Yeah. On the back road, yeah. There's one.
Looks like you're going to crash, but they get through, don't they?
What's that? I can't remember what it is. It's near Sandown. It's really awkward, long and winding road.
Yeah.
And you see like a bus going down, and you think that's not going to happen. The bus is going to topple over. But they do.
They do it.
You
they
are surprised,
it.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that okay. could perhaps work.
So it's all no's. We were saying no to pedestrianisation.
No.
And next we're going to come back and help James. Because James is... I think James is the only gamer among us.
Yeah, I believe... Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are the only gamer... You're only the only person that could have a gaming syndrome.
Yep.
Because that's been made apparent this week that there is this... they've said it's now you've got a syndrome... and you said earlier on, it was funny, James. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you did say that, that won't affect me because I've been doing it for years. So, but we're going to find out whether you do or not indeed have a syndrome. And I'm guessing that we've all got one at some point in our life. Even now, I would imagine, you know, I've got many. Drinking syndrome, maybe. There's a name for that. But we'll come back and we'll chat more in two ticks.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.
Olive White Studio Glass at Arrowton Barnes Craft Village is one of the leading British glassmaking studios and has a reputation worldwide. The studio is open 7 days a week and you can come and watch master glassmaker Timothy Harris create his amazing designs. A visit to Isle of Wight Studio Glass also offers an opportunity to purchase a piece of glass that you will treasure for always. You can also buy online at isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk or call us on 522-339.
The Four P's Project is proudly supported by Wheeler's Solicitors, helping you achieve your aims in life. We deal with residential and commercial conveyancing, wills, lasting powers of attorney, and probate. For more information, call us on 01983 533 938 or check out wheelers-solicitors.com. ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
For over 70 years, White Building Materials have been the leading supplier of construction and building materials on the Isle of Wight, offering ready-mixed concrete, decorative aggregates, concrete blocks and so much more. They're right here on your doorstep, unless of course you haven't built it yet, in which case you need White Building Materials. For more information or if you have any questions regarding products and services, contact them on 01983 524 822 or check out the website whitebuildingmaterials.com. White Building Materials. Get your asphalt into gear and call them today.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Okay, this section of the show is dedicated to James because he is a gamer. This week, gaming addiction was said to be listed as a mental health condition for the first time by the World Health Organization. It's 11th International Classification of Diseases. The ICD will include the condition of gaming disorder. Now, you know about this story. Are you worried about it?
No, not really. I think it's a load of rubbish.
Were your parents worried about it?
No, not really.
Because you do game.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna find out, the more we read on and more we hear from you, we're going to find out whether you're in danger of having some kind of disorder.
I don't think
and
so.
And the rest of us. Could that be the same of what... I mean, if just say, for instance, if you play a game for 2 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and we all watch TV for 3 hours a day, mm-hmm. which is worse?
TV because it's an hour extra, but it depends whether you're actually focused in what you're doing. If you're not really focused enough and you take breaks in between, then it's not really pressure, is it?
Okay.
To be honest.
It sounds like to me, because we sort of, we know quite a little bit about you, mm-hmm. and I don't think that you've got an issue. Like, some people will be up all night playing yeah. it and they won't be able to move. And somebody mention the fact that there was one young lady that
I read in the news, there was one girl who was, I think she's about 12 years old, and she literally spent 12 to 15 hours a day playing this game. I don't know what the game's called, but she didn't move. I mean, she didn't eat. She didn't go to the toilet, so she did her, you know, business on the chair that she was on. It was quite disgusting, but she was so engrossed in the game that she could not physically move. And I don't know if that's like a mental obsession, is it, like a mental addiction where you can't move because you're so obsessed with the game. I don't know if you find that. I mean, if you say you sort of play what, an hour and a half max, you take breaks, you don't feel the need.
No.
You can quite comfortably take a break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then go back and enjoy it. It's not like you're obsessed with it.
It's like my routine is kind of like I would game for about an hour or two or hour and a half, and then afterwards I'd, because
you sort of know your limit. You know, I wouldn't say you have an addiction to gaming.
No.
As such, I mean, I think you're an avid gamer, you like gaming, but if you're sort of able to take yourself away and have a break, or
yeah, I'm kind of like enthusiastic about it, but at the same time, the reason why I take breaks is because, you know, I don't let my consoles actually overheat and get hot.
I only
take breaks to let them cool down at the same time, and I go on YouTube and stuff like that.
So you're actually thinking of your consoles, but not your brain? You're actually, better let these cool down. What about your brain being frazzled? Mm.
But also at the same time, you know, I do take breaks as well for that.
But do you play online, though?
Depends,
because that's like another part of the
I do have online for Xbox, but only on a certain game, and it depends when, like, my, because I play it with my cousin,
sure,
and he hardly comes on, so I don't really,
right,
but I can go into an online session with other players
because
my brother
plays, you know, Call of Duty, he plays those sort of games, and he's got hundreds of friends, you know, or friends that he didn't even know from around the world, and he can happily play for hours and hours and hours because there's always somebody to challenge him or play with him. Mm-hmm. But if you're sort of just playing with one person, then it's not as
my cousin Marcus, he's got a couple of friends like from America, like most of his friends are American friends, and like he plays all different games, like from Destiny things like games like that, and you know, he spends hours in group, like a group chat, like in a party, and talking to his friends whilst gaming for hours on end. Like, he goes to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. What is he?
My age.
Well,
almost 18.
See, that's
almost
my,
18.
That's my. No, you are 18, aren't you?
Yeah, I know.
He's almost 18.
Yeah, he's almost
right,
18.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a worry.
6 days time, he'll be 18 Tuesday.
And he's up until 3 o'clock in the morning gaming.
Yeah, but if he has work, most of the time he might fall asleep most of the time, or like go offline.
See, that's when it's affecting you. That's when it becomes an issue. That's probably what they're talking about. So do you ever stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning?
No.
Ever?
No.
1 o'clock?
No.
2 o'clock?
No.
12 o'clock?
No.
What's the latest?
Well,
it doesn't control your life, is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
No, it depends. Doesn't. Well, it pretty much depends. You know, if I feel tired, I don't really do a lot. You know, I pretty much just leave it and listen to music, rather.
Depends what sort of game you're playing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, watch like YouTube on my TV, because I use my Xbox also for YouTube as well.
Yes,
because I've got the app for it.
Some countries have already identified this as a major health issue, which doesn't surprise me, because I don't think it's just, you know, just for the Brits. Mm. This report will suggest that abnormal gaming behaviour should be in evidence over a period of at least 12 months for a diagnosis to be assigned. How long have you been keeping your addiction under control? How long have you been gaming?
12 years.
So you've been gaming for 12 years?
Well, about 11 and a half, 12 years, something like that.
Has there ever ever been a time when you think, maybe I'm playing too much, I've just got to ease back?
Not really. Not really, because as long as I take breaks and do other stuff in between, I'm fine with that.
I mean, the thing for me is, you know, the word gamer, the term gamer, sort of, to me, that's like somebody who, you know, it's a bit more than a hobby.
It's a lot more enthusiastic
for me,
about it.
I don't know if I would call you a gamer. I would perhaps call you somebody who just enjoys playing computer games.
Like an enthusiast.
An enthusiast, yeah. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't call you... I think a gamer is somebody who does it probably day in, day out, for probably more than an hour and a half.
He does.
But
he
I mean, I'm sort of 2 or 3 hours a day and really gets involved. I mean, you know, to me, it just sounds like you just enjoy games.
Do you play golf?
I used to play golf. Terrible. Awful, terrible golfer.
How often did you play golf?
Well, okay. When I started to play in 2013, I joined Osborne, and I played almost every morning because my grandfather works next to Osborne Golf Course.
Right.
He owns a business on that, on the in a business park, Vector Storage. So next to, obviously, the business park was obviously Osborne House and the golf club. So I used to go there very early and play quite a lot, and I did get addicted to it. I would play almost every single day. That was more of an addiction, I think, because I played and I got quite, you know, I got quite good.
This is the same thing. It is an addiction, isn't it?
Because I mean, we all have our own addictions, but like you're saying about golf, my mate used to do golf, like on certain like weekends and stuff like that for tournaments and that, but he doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, but I would play and play and play until I had to go home. Until I had to go home. I mean, I would play sometimes up there until it went dark. I couldn't play anymore. I couldn't see the ball. You know, I would play. But honestly, it was honestly. I did. There was a little sort of spell where I played.
I'll see you with a torch.
Glow in the dark balls.
Yeah. I think it's slightly different because, like you said, with you, you're sort of able to say, right, enough's enough. I'm going to have a break and I'm going to have some dinner and whatever. But for me, yeah, with golf, it did get to the point where I would keep playing and play and play. Even though it was time to go home, I wanted to play that last hole. I couldn't just leave it. And if I went home, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about the next day. So I don't know.
Like you're engrossed in something that you can't get away from. You just got to complete it.
Yeah, I don't think you've got that with your gaming.
No.
But in some ways, Jake, some people will say, well, hang on a minute, at least you're out in the fresh air. At least you're getting some, you know, what's the difference?
I think golf's healthier, perhaps. I'd say physically and mentally, I think it's healthier than playing a shooting game. You're not cramped up in a dark room, you know, with your eyes and your sort of brain frazzling over a computer screen. However, golf does raise the blood pressure and the heart rate. So, and I used to get very stressed on the golf course. You know, I was a miserable golfer. I didn't enjoy it because I was so obsessed with winning. There was one time where my dad bought me some clubs and I hit a bad shot and I snapped the 5-iron over my neck, hurled it into the bush. And I was really angry, but I couldn't leave it. I was determined to go to the next hole and play, you know, a good hole. So,
do you get that when you're playing a game where you get angry, stressed? I'll be honest, James.
Depends, but I'm not actually like proper where these people have got something wrong with them, like ADHD or something, and they like.
But just
proper
just say,
rage.
When you're playing, when you're playing, do you get to the point where you get really angry because something's happened on the screen?
Not really.
You don't lose control rage wise.
I used to get that.
Jake does when he's playing golf.
Seriously, yeah. But I'm a naturally terrible loser. I don't like losing. I don't like to not achieve something that I know I can, and if I don't do it, then I'll. Yeah, like we touched on earlier, I'll sort of beat myself up, I'll get stressed out. I know I can do that. I've, you know, a certain standard that I like to try and hit, but I don't know.
Like most of the time, like when I'm gaming, I do get angry, don't get me wrong, but I don't get to the point where I just think, well, I don't, you know.
Okay, I'll just do one more game. And then I'll just do one more game. When you get.
Sometimes.
So, it is there, but you sound like you've got it kind of under control.
Yeah.
I'd be a bit worried, just say for instance, I'd be a bit worried that when you get home from school, that's the first thing you do. Because it's almost, I'm picturing those people in those old sitcoms from years ago. First thing they do is when they get home is go to the decanter and pour ourselves out a brandy. Like that's going to make it better. And I'm just picturing you now coming home from school. Hello, Mum. Straight upstairs and playing.
No.
You got a bungalow?
Yeah, I got a bungalow.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I got a bungler. Yeah, so I actually don't go straight in. Like, most of the time I actually go in and then, you know, put my bag down and get some food and drink and whatnot if I'm hungry and that, and, you know, say hi to mum and she says, oh, how's your day been and all that, you know, just talk about how my day's been, and I might, you know, check YouTube and whatnot. Then we might go down the shop or something, get dinner and that, and then I might do some gaming, or I might do some gaming before we go down the shop.
Can I ask you a question? Be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you ever get to the point where you're walking to the shop, or your mum's having a conversation with you, and you're thinking, "Hurry up! I want to get up and play," or "I want to get and play"? Not
we,
upstairs.
We drive.
Hurry up! Can you drive? We get there quicker then, and then I get back to gaming.
No.
Right. So you've got it totally under control.
Yeah.
You've got it under control, which is great.
But also, sometimes, just before dinner, or, when Dad rings, because my dad talks to me in the evening, when he does that, and the phone rings, and I'm just for God's sake, just go away, I'm trying to do this.
You know? Yeah.
Just
take over.
Go out of my life.
Okay, the symptoms are impaired control over gaming, frequency, intensity, duration, increased priority given to gaming. That's why I would be a little bit concerned if you're coming home, every day from school, right, first thing you do, bags down, hello mum, make me a cup of tea, I'm going gaming. Continuation or escalation of gaming despite negative consequences. But it does sound like you got everything kind of under control. And I think there are worse things. We did say that it will probably come about that we've all got some kind of symptoms for something. I mean, I know people that are forever on Facebook. Yes. And they probably spend more time on Facebook than they're probably gaming. Is it you? Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, it is.
I do like Facebook, yeah.
I
love Facebook.
I know. You've got to hold back a bit. You're on there all the time.
No, but
give someone else a go.
No, but I have to be.
Yeah, I know.
Because I want to be a journalist. And obviously I do my columns and I do my radio stuff with you. And you have to be. You have to be relentless. I mean, that's just my opinion. Mm. I use it as a tool. As a tool for my... I mean, I don't post pictures of my food.
Yeah.
I don't post pictures of...
I do.
We know you do.
You know, then I'll share. I'll check into the radio station. Mm. I'll promote my columns. Mm. I'll talk about my journalism. Mm. For me, it's a tool. And
yours is a tool for a career. Mine's to be nosy.
And I wouldn't stop. Yeah, oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
I never stalk anybody on Facebook. But for me...
Is that a disorder? Nosiness?
I think so. I've got quite a severe case.
I think you to be.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have to be a bit extreme. Or do you? But I believe so. Because I know you don't go on Facebook a lot, do you?
Well, here's the thing.
You spoke to me a couple of weeks ago. But then we're coming from different generations, aren't we?
We are, but here's the thing. Who do you respect most? Charlie State, BBC broadcaster, or Piers Morgan?
Piers Morgan. I'm a bigger fan of Piers Morgan. I'm actually...
Piers Morgan's one of my dream men.
I love Piers Morgan, and I think he has really... It's what he's got. He's just got it with his Twitter, with his Facebook, with his outspoken opinion. That to me is what a real journalist is. He's not afraid to ruffle feathers. He gives his opinion. A lot of people don't like him, but you have to respect that he's out there and standing alone and giving his opinions. And I know he doesn't. He's Mr. Marmite, but for me, that is what a real journalist is, and that's what I'm trying to be like. Because he. You know, perhaps he's not always right, but he says it like it is. Mm. You know, that's just my opinion. Perhaps you don't obviously agree.
Would you rather be liked or disliked?
That's irrelevant. I'm not interested in being liked or disliked. I want to be a journalist. I have to get my opinions across. I have to be firm but fair.
So if you're happy with that, and
yes, I mean, I've written columns before in the county press, and people haven't taken to them nicely, and they've sent me Facebook messages that have been quite nasty. But I'm giving my honest opinion. If you want me to lie,
I don't want you to lie.
No, but if you want me to be all nicey nicey and not give my true honest opinion, then
No, sure, but
I'm not going to do that.
You can do that without the Piers Morgan effect. What I'm saying is, you come across as earlier on. We were having a chat, and you were worried because you may have made slight mistakes here and there.
Yeah,
and you were worried.
What
happens if you don't want me to come back? So I just took it upon myself to think that, maybe you just say, because we live in a world, especially when you're in journalism or you broadcast. If somebody doesn't like what you say or doesn't like your voice or doesn't like this, you're out there and people can attack you. Yes. And you've got to have a skin like a rhinoceros. You can say anything you like about me. 100%.
You've got to be thick-skinned. I mean, I'm a columnist for the County Press. I have to give my opinion. I have to give a debate, like a balanced opinion, but I have to give my true opinion. And if I don't, then I'm not being me, you know? And that's... Okay. It's not like I want to be disliked. It's not like I sort of sit down at a laptop as well and say, who am I going to offend? But I give my honest opinion.
I bet Piers Morgan does.
I mean, it's not...
Yeah, but I think that's part of his charm. I find that quite nice. Yeah.
I like the fact that he's refreshing. And he comes out and he says, oh, he shouldn't have said that. But... Yeah. Deep down, you're glad he said that.
Yes.
You're glad he said that. Yeah. I mean, he's not everyone's cup of tea.
I think he hits the nail on the head most of the time.
He hits the nail on the head. And you can see why, Good Morning Britain, their ratings are sky high.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Well, they are. They definitely are. They're definitely catching up BBC Breakfast very quickly as well. And they've got the evening show now, haven't
they? Here's your homework.
Go on.
You're a journalist.
Well.
Back that up with facts for next week.
Okay, I'll come with... Yeah, all right then.
Please.
With these statistics.
Honestly, true. Because they were... way behind years ago.
I know that
he's forever in the news. Whatever he says, it's in the news and people are taking it seriously and so on, and you just think, okay, there is a massive how can I put it, publicity stunt going on here with everything. Every time he opens his mouth, it gets put on. You look at Google. If I was to just go all the stories underneath Google without even typing anything in, there'll be one there every day about either Susanna Reid's got a tight dress on and some cleavage
showing, or
what Piers Morgan said to so and so Andrew Ridgely the other day from Wham.
And I think the best thing about him is that he asks the questions that you think you shouldn't have asked that, but he asks those questions because
Just to interrupt there, we've talked about Piers Morgan. I mentioned Charlie Steak. What surprised me this week was that the guy that does Question Time is retiring. And
people have actually called for Piers Morgan to take over.
In actual fact, they said straight away on BBC they were asking Charlie Steak to take over because of the questions that he asked. Who's the guy? The NHS guy, representative from the government, Hunt.
Jeremy Hunt.
He grilled him, and then off the back of that, there were lots of tweets going around saying, you ought to take over. And then it all came out that Charlie Steak is not on social media. And I just think there's a comparison there. You've got a guy that is not afraid to ask questions.
I'd agree, and
respected by many, probably more than Piers Morgan, because there is that element of love and hate, and I would imagine there's just forever, there are people that love him. For every person that love him, you probably find two that don't.
I think if you were to put the two together, I think you would give Piers Morgan, because Piers Morgan has got that face, hasn't he? You know what I mean? He's just got that look about him. He's got that. You know, when you put him on the television,
I think he's got an edge. He's got an edge.
You know, that's just my opinion. Yeah. It's just, I'm
Jeremy
a huge
Kyle
fan.
Like.
Do you like Jeremy Kyle? I love Jeremy Kyle. You like him?
I do. I like Jeremy Kyle.
I love him. I mean,
because he just says what everyone's thinking.
Jeremy Clarkson's another one.
And when people aren't afraid to say what everyone else is thinking, you do get a lot of followers. They might not admit it, but they do.
Is that what we've got to do then?
I think so. I think it's refreshing.
I like to be told how it is. There's too many people in this country that don't tell you like it is. Yeah. And I think people that do, it's refreshing change.
Well,
there we are.
There we go. We get a word in edgeways, James, do we?
Sorry, back to gaming.
Gobby, isn't she?
I think we've got debate syndrome.
Yes, definitely.
We've all got a syndrome, haven't we?
I think we've all got loads, several. We've all got addictions, haven't we, really? I mean, we all have our own...
James got his car addiction.
Food addiction. And drink. And I don't mean drink as in alcohol.
So you just turned 18?
No, I don't mean alcohol addiction. I mean soft drink addiction.
Right? I'm glad you said that, James. Hey, look, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you for being there, Jake.
Cheers, guys.
And
we'll see
you next week.
Definitely.
And I don't think you're in next week, but I think you're in the week after, James. But you're in on Monday.
We're in on Monday.
You're in with Kevin. Yay! Kevin's looking after the show. But